Go ahead and grab your Bible. Let's go to 1 Chronicles is where we'll be today. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the last chapter in the book of Chronicles. That'll be our text for this morning. We're not going to read it all right now. We'll sort of work our way through it in the midst of the message. But you might want to go ahead and just put your Bible marker right there so that you have it. When you think about life, perspective changes everything, doesn't it? Just imagine for a moment how differently the world looks from the International Space Station as opposed to outside in this parking lot, right? Totally different. Why? It's a different perspective. I mean, to look out on the Earth from the space station is just breathtaking and moving. And don't get me wrong, Plano is really cool. But can you imagine the perspective and the beauty of the Earth when you're outside of the Earth? Think about how amazing for you young folks. Think about how amazing a tiger looks on TV. How many of you young folks think tigers are pretty cool? Anybody? Even you older folks. All right. Tigers are amazing. And you look at one on TV and you're like, wow. But imagine from a different perspective. If one was face to face and he was breathing on you, about to chomp you. No longer cool and wow, it's whoa, right? Tigers then from that perspective become very scary. We could go on and on with all the things about perspective here, but think about what Paul said in Romans 8:18. He was talking about perspective. He said this, he said, "For I consider that the present sufferings of this time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." In other words, at the most of a human life is like 100 years. So 100 years of suffering is bad, but compared, right? Compared to the eternity in heaven with God, then those 100 years at the most are endurable, right? It's about perspective. A little while for a great long while of goodness. Perspective changes everything. As we come into our second message on stewardship, as we think about the capital campaign at Eastwood Baptist Church coming into that, perhaps some of you have come into the capital campaign thinking about this, and maybe you've had a wrong perspective, okay? Maybe you've come here as we think about these things with the perspective that you have to give. You feel obligated to give. Or maybe you feel like you're being guilted to give. But I want to challenge every one of you this morning who are members of Eastwood Baptist Church to have a different perspective, because perspective changes everything. It's not that you have to give. It's not that you're being guilted to give, but I pray that you and I would have the perspective that we get to give. In other words, I pray that we would have the opportunity to see this financial challenge of raising $3 million in 3 years as an opportunity to give. You get to give. As I was reading our text this morning, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 through 22, that was the perspective that jumped out at me. They didn't see it as a burden. They didn't see it as something that they had to have their arm twisted to do. They didn't see it as a barrier to the rest of their life. They saw it as an amazing opportunity, and I pray that you would see it that way as well. Now, let me just take a moment here. If you are a guest with us here this morning, what I'm going to say this morning, what I'm about to teach, will challenge your life. It will challenge your life. It doesn't matter if you're connected to Eastwood or not. As I tie the teaching of the Bible this morning to our capital campaign, I want you to understand that that is for the people who are committed to Eastwood Baptist Church. And if you're a guest this morning, what we're going to teach you, you can take and apply to your life, okay? Eastwood Baptist Church and its mission and its ministry is near and dear to our heart. We've committed to it, right? We've covenanted together to do ministry together. But if you're a guest, I would invite you to take whatever teaching you hear this morning and then take that and apply it to whatever it is that's close to your heart. Whatever it is, if you will take these principles and apply it to your life, I promise you, you will make a difference for eternity. Your life will be changed. Every person in here. So on the subject of giving to God this morning, here's what I want you to think. Our text here shows us five hows, five ways of how to do it. And then it gives us five reasons, five becauses, or five whys. And through them all, as we work down through here, we're just going to kind of have one great big running point to this morning's message. So let's pray together and ask God to speak to us and show us His way. Father, for every person here, You have blessed us with resources. And God, for those of us who are members of Eastwood Baptist Church, we have covenanted together to use some of those resources, Lord, to support the ministry of Eastwood Baptist Church. And we come into the season of capital campaign giving, commitment cards, and all those things, God. We pray that You would speak to us and show us how we can fulfill our promise to one another through this capital campaign. God, but I know there are people here, Lord, who are not necessarily committed to Eastwood, and I'm so glad that they're here. Father, would You take what is being taught and help them to take it and apply it to their life in the appropriate places? Father, how we deal with money is spiritual. And I pray that You would help them see that today. Help us all to see that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, as we turn our attention to the five hows, the first thing I want you to see is that you and I give to God as an example. Give to God as an example. That's the first how. Look at verse 1 through verse 9 here with me. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 through 9. It says this. It says, "And David the king said to all of the assembly, 'Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, as far as I am able, the gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marbles. Moreover, in addition to all that I've provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work is to be done, or for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord?'" Look what it goes on to say. Verse 6. "Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands, as of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for their service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly with a whole heart. They had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly." What I want you to see here is that we are to give to God as an example. What you have here is you have the leaders of Israel here. Did you notice it was King David? And it was the leaders of the father's house, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and officers. In other words, not everybody at this moment gave, okay? Not everybody in Israel gave at this time. These were the leaders, and they were giving as an example to everybody else in Israel. At Eastwood, I want you guys to know that 2 weeks ago, your leaders of Eastwood, about 100 of us, gathered together in a dining hall here in Bowling Green, and we began to pray, and we heard testimony, and we were challenged as leaders to give. We want to give as leaders to set a tone and to set an example for you guys in this capital campaign. And our pledge is going to be due this coming Wednesday. This coming Wednesday. The rest of you are not being asked to make a pledge until April 12th. Now, why is that? Here's the reason I think it's right here in the Bible, because we want to challenge our leaders to give as an example to the rest of Eastwood. And so we're going to come out, we're going to tell what the leaders have pledged so that then we can challenge you guys. We want folks to know that the leaders of Eastwood Baptist Church, we are all in. We believe in the ministry that God is doing as we serve and as we move and as we grow. We are all in. But I want you to understand something. Every single one of you is a leader in some form or fashion. Every single one of you can be an example to someone else. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe you have someone, as you talk about giving, and you don't have to tell what you give, of course. That's between you and God. But maybe as you talk about sacrificing for God in giving, they might say, why in the world would you do that? And that's your opportunity to say, because my God is worthy. Amen. My God is worthy. For everything that I have, it's His. Maybe it's your extended family. But you know what? As I said a moment ago, maybe it's your kids. I want to challenge every parent that has a child in the home to help them understand as a family, and even maybe help them themselves to maybe give toward this capital campaign as a way to build faith in their own life. Guys, whoever it is, whoever's watching what we give to God, we set an example in doing that. We set an example to help people know that God is worthy of our time and that He's worthy of our treasure. So don't miss this opportunity to be an example to somebody. Secondly, this morning, you and I are to give to God joyfully, the Bible says. Notice verse 9 here. Notice verse 9. Then the people did what, church? Rejoiced because they had given willingly. They had just pledged and they had just all given parts of their wealth to God. And guess what? There was no frowning. There was no gnashing of teeth. There was no sweating. They were glad to give it to God. They were rejoicing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says that God loves a cheerful giver. And that's the heart that God wants to give us, that God wants us to give in, right? That we'd be a cheerful giver. Who better to give it to than to God? There's no better eternal investment. And so I pray that you and I would give joyfully. Third, this morning, you and I are to give to God willingly. Now this goes back, this ties into what I preached last week. Look at verse 9, that we're to give to God willingly. Verse 9 has a lot here. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. Guys, there is great joy in giving to God when we give because we want to. Just giving in general. Think about this for just a moment. April 15th is coming soon. And that's not just the day when we kick off our Wednesday night ministries. By the way, that is when we're going to kick off our Wednesday night ministries. But April 15th is going to be tax day. And I don't know anybody that gives willingly, okay, when it comes to writing that check to the IRS. Right. We always, when it comes to that, we give by, well, basically we give because we have to. We give by compulsion, don't we? Either write the check, and I know not all y'all getting refunds. Bless your heart if you're not getting a refund. That check's going to be especially hard to write. But basically, they say, write the check or we'll give you penalties. Write the check or we'll put you in jail. And there is no joy. In fact, I bet when you tear that check out, you're like, whoosh, you got that look on your face. Like, you know, that's just how it is. There's no willingness in paying the IRS, but in this situation right here, when you get to give to God, we're asking you to give out of your own free will. Do it because you want to. As I preached last week, give if the Holy Spirit moves you to give. We won't be sending you a bill. We won't be sending you reminders that hey, you owe this much this week. No, no. Give willingly. Give because God wants you to give. That's what we're challenging you to. And let me say this. When you give to God willingly, there is great, great joy. Fourth, you and I are to give to God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 again, we've wrung this one out for everything it has. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Can I just say to you this morning that God doesn't want half of anything that you have. He wants all of you. And I promise you this, He certainly does not want half of your heart. He does not want half of your heart. He wants your whole heart. When we give to God, half of our heart shouldn't be saying yes, and the other half saying no. You know, even in a marriage, think about this. If you are a husband and wife, you should be agreeing on what you're giving. Okay? It shouldn't be like, well, I think we should give this much, and the other one says, I think this much. You need to be of one heart, one accord, right? A divided heart, one half of you saying yes and half of your heart saying no, that's a divided heart. In a sense, that's having two masters, isn't it? And so, when you and I give, we give to only one Lord, one Master. Do you want to know where your heart really is? Jesus tells us then to follow your money, right? He says that in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart is connected to your wallet. Now, here's the truth. God's not asking for your whole wallet. He's not asking for your whole wallet. But He is asking for your whole heart as you give what God leads you to give. And so give to God with a whole heart. And then finally, as we think about the how to give this morning, finally, how to give, you and I are to give humbly. To give humbly. Look at verse 10 through 15. I love this passage right here. I love this passage. Look at it with me. Verse 10 here in 1 Chronicles 29. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted ahead above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. What a great prayer. I love that prayer there. David recognized God's greatness. And I promise you, church, as you stand in the face of God's greatness, you can't help but be humbled. His power is great. His glory is great. His provision is great. His mercy and grace are great. And it brings us to our knees in humility. I want you to look closely at verse 13 and 14. Here is where I got from this message, particularly that perspective, where the perspective gets to give, where it especially shines forth. Look at it. He says, And now we thank you, our God. Praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? What? That's so different from how we normally think about giving, isn't it? Right? That's the perspective. God, you allow us to give. He is marveling that God is allowing them to give. If we got that change in our perspective, how differently, not just for this capital campaign, but for every part of our life, how different would your life to be that God is allowing you to give freely? He's not compulsing you. He's not constraining you. He's saying, give as your heart moves. And David says, God, I can't even believe that you just let us do it.
Oh my goodness, what a great prayer. He recognizes that he and his people aren't even worthy to give to God.
Now I want you to think for just a moment how much God's grace has been all over your life. From the moment you were conceived in your mama's womb, God's grace has provided for you every step of the way. And let's be honest, we've not always been that perfect child of God, have we? There's been rebellion in our life. There's been sin in our lives. Yet God still desires to use you. How humbling that is. You and I get to give to God. So, give to God, just to recap, as an example, joyfully, willingly, wholeheartedly, and humbly. Now let's turn our attention to the five whys, just real quickly this morning. Five whys here in this text. Five why reasons, reasons here in our text. First, give to God because the work is great. Give to God because the work is great. Now, last week the context was under Moses. Moses was the leader. He is leading the people to build the tabernacle and to furnish the tabernacle. We fast forwarded here a few years to King David. Israel is under the leadership of King David, and they are not furnishing a tabernacle now. Now they're furnishing an actual temple, a brick and mortar building that would not be moved from Jerusalem. And so that's the context here. But it was an immense work. Look at verse 1. David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, in whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is what, church? Great. The work is great. The work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. At 9444 Scottsboro Road in Alvington, we are in no way building a temple. Let me reiterate that from last week. We are not building a temple. Temples were made null and void when Christ was sacrificed once for all on the cross of Calvary. But nevertheless, it is a great work that God has built there. First, it's important to say that South Campus, when it was launched in 2011, that was a great work then. It's still a great work. Eastwood couldn't sit idly by and let the condition of folks who did not know Christ continue. And so you all launched in 2011 a rescue mission, so to speak, right here, South Warren County. And you're still doing that. That's why you came. But let's be honest, the work has been great. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are what? Few. I said earlier in our Bible fellowship time, just focusing on youth ministry alone, youth student ministry, whatever you want to call that, middle school, high school, there are over 5,000 middle and high school students at South Warren High, South Warren Middle, Greenwood High School, Drakes Creek Middle, Allen County High School, and James E. Basil Middle School in Allen County. Over 5,000 students, along with our homeschool kids and along with our private school kids, over 5,000 teenagers. Who's going to reach them? I mean, that's a great work. I mean, could you imagine even 1,000 young folks coming to Eastwood? I mean, that's a great work. It's an amazing work. And we have to work toward that. God, I believe God put us there for that reason. Amen? He put us there for that reason, and of course for others to reach all, but just to give you a glimpse there. It is a great work. We launched this work because we want to make a difference in this area in Jesus' name. And the work is great. It's big. It's immense. It's gigantic. Gigante, right? But our God is greater, right? $3 million in 3 years. That is a drop in the bucket to God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I have full confidence that God's going to provide. Do you? During our Bible fellowship time, we had testimony on top of testimony. When has God not provided? He always has. He's always shown Himself to be faithful. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Guys, it's been His vision all along. And now we come along with our
faith. We get to exercise our faith in funding this vision. And it's going to take every single one of us. Every one of us. So give to God because the work is great. Secondly, give to God because He's blessed you. Look at the life of David here. David is, first verse 2 like tells of all of the, basically the government of Israel, what they're going to give. But you get into verse 3, and that's the personal stuff that David was given personally. Yeah, he was a king. Yeah, he had stacks and stacks of gold and cash and whatever else. He had so much that he could give to. He had vast wealth. But listen to me, God's not concerned about your net worth. He's not concerned about your net worth. He's concerned that you're willing to personally give back to Him out of what He's blessed you with. David had been blessed mightily by God, but he did not desire to hoard it, did he? He wanted to give it to God. He decided to use it. He wanted to use it for God's glory. Now, as you look around this room, not all of us have been blessed equally financially. But we have all been equally called to do our part. And let me say this. Every single one of us have been blessed. Every one of us has been blessed. From the top to the bottom, God has blessed us from A to Z. God has blessed us. And now we get to give out that blessing. Third, give to God because He's worthy. He is worthy. We read verses 10 through 15 a moment ago. I'm not going to read them again. But remember how David recalled God's power. He recalled His glory, His provision, His grace. Guys, friends, God is so worthy of being given to, isn't He? He's not only the highest of all beings. He's not only your Creator. He's not only your Sustainer. He's not only your Savior. He's not only your King. But He has been good to you. He's been good to you. And He's worthy of giving everything to Him. Fourth, the fourth reason we see in the text. Give to God because it's God's to begin with. I love how this text states this. Look at verse 16. David says this perfectly. When we think about perspective, how perspective changes everything. Look at verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building You a house for Your holy name comes from Your hand, he says, and is all Your own. He's saying, God, we built You a house with Your own resources. Everything was Yours. He understood fully that the financial resources given by God were God's. They belonged to Him. They had been given by Him. He owns 100% and we're stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Guys, that's a perspective changer, isn't it? Not only did He give it, but it belongs to Him. It's God's and He's letting you manage it. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, if it's all His, why in the world didn't He just do it Himself? Why did He have to make me the middleman? And the answer is, he didn't want you to miss out on the joy of giving. Randy Alcorn, he tells the story of Jerry and Muriel Caven. Jerry and Muriel Caven. And they were business owners. And late in their life, at age 59, as they headed into retirement, they were looking how to serve. And God actually led them into what you might call a giving ministry. A giving ministry. I've met people, when Christy and I were at Smith's Grove Baptist, we had a guy come to us one time, and he says, God has given me a giving ministry. We're like, what's that? He's like, God has blessed me financially, and I want to use that to bless other people, to finance ministry. And it blew our minds. And he invested into our youth ministry there. But Jerry and Muriel Caven, they were two folks who were retired. They had been blessed financially, but they began to give. And here's what he said. He talked about this. I talked about impacting people that don't know Jesus, even with the way that you give. He said this.
He said a non-Christian couple saw us giving and saw how much it excited and changed us. Then they started giving too. Even before knowing Christ, they saw the joy and they wanted in on it. They had a change of perspective, right? It was a joy to give. They found the absolute joy in giving. And I pray that you and I would find that same perspective, that joy, because everything you have is God's to begin with anyway. And He lets you be a part of that. He gives you an opportunity to give back so that you would reap not only a harvest of souls, but a harvest of joy. And then finally this morning, give to God because you want to pass the test. You want to pass the test. I've never thought about finances this way until I read this text this week. This was completely new territory for me. So maybe it'd be new territory for you. But look at this with me. Go to verse 17. Maybe you've never thought about your finances being a test from God. Look at verse 17. David says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I've freely offered all these things, and now I've seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. You see, guys, God has blessed you with what you have to see what you're going to do with it. How are you going to use it? Are you going to use it for yourself, or are you going to use it to grow His kingdom? Friends, I want to tell you this morning, again, applying this message to our capital campaign, but it has multiple applications for you and for me. Every penny that you give to the capital campaign is indeed investing in the kingdom. So I want to challenge you guys in that way. Have you been seeking God as to what He might lead you to pledge in this season of our life? You know, for some of you, you've never been a tither. You've not gotten to that point where you give a true tithe of 10% to the ministry of the church. I want to challenge you, if that's you, figure out what it is, what percentage it is that you now give of your income, and subtract that from 10 and see what that is. I want to challenge you to at least pledge the difference between a tithe and what you're giving now. I want to lay that out as a challenge to you. Maybe some of you, though, you're already giving a tithe. And so what is God going to do in this? Perhaps God is bringing you to a new level of giving. Right? 10%, as we understand the new covenant, is not the cap of our giving. It's actually the beginning of our giving. And so maybe God is calling you to be 11%, or 12, or 15, or 20. As I was reading and researching Randy Alcorn's ministry, he knows people. By the way, Randy Alcorn gives away like 100% of his salary because he's done so many things like through book writings and deals like that. I know we all can't do that. But maybe God is asking you to move to a new threshold in your giving. And let me say this, though. Whatever it is, wherever God has challenged you to take that next step, God will provide. Do you believe that? That God will provide? It doesn't matter what percentage step it is, God is calling you and He will provide. So here's my prayer in closing. May you take full advantage of this opportunity to give to God.